from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Kat Snow. More than 35,000 people died in crashes on U.S. roads last year. Human error was to blame more than 90% of the time. One remedy might be to let computers take the wheel. Self-driving cars are now close enough to reality that federal regulators are sketching out policies for them in areas from safety to ethics. KQED Science's Daniel Potter reports on what it could mean to all of us if robot cars are inevitable.
The way some car makers talk, power steering and cruise control are about to be relics.
It's now clear that the next decade is going to be defined by the automation of the automobile.
That's Ford CEO Mark Fields in Palo Alto announcing his company will make a self-driving car in the next 5 years.
Woo.
A lot of other companies are thinking about this too. Mercedes, Uber, Nissan. In nearby Mountain View, Google has nearly 60 experimental vehicles on the road. Arturo Corral is showing me a white Lexus.
It's retrofitted with a lot of our sensors.
It looks like a car wearing quirky eyewear, maybe Google Glass. It can see the colors of traffic lights and measures distant objects using radar and lasers.
Auto driving.
Inside, on Corral's laptop, all that data from lasers, maps, and cameras reminds me of an update on a classic arcade game where you have to cross four lanes of traffic without dying.
Your screen right now looks like an impossible game of Frogger.
Pretty much.
There's also a cartoonish big red button which shuts off self-driving mode.
We've never had to use a button.
A quick way to shut self-driving cars off is required to test them in California, along with drivers and $5 million in coverage. 15 companies have that test permit. You may see one of their cars in the wild today.
Manual.
So in the driver's seat sits Karen Isgrig, hands inches from the steering wheel in case she has to take over. She says sometimes the car will act weird.
So for example, I might feel it braking.
But then it turns out the computer is sensing something she doesn't and responding safely.
So the car will actually slow down for somebody running a red light, and I'll have to look around to figure out why, but in reality it's because the car is driving better than I would as a human being.
Let's pause and consider a possible future where cars drive themselves, or one scenario at least. Imagine zipping along a highway, your car talking with others around it, all drafting in tight formation. Imagine cities getting back all the space we use for parking lots and turning it into gardens and public parks. Your car drops the kids off at school while you're at the gym. All that while preventing thousands of fatal crashes every year. Or so the sales pitch goes. But right now, it's not even clear how you would demonstrate a driverless car could be trusted on the road.
How do we get to safe enough?
Well, that's a golden question. How safe is safe enough?
This is Sarah Hunter.
I'm head of policy for X, formerly Google X.
You can already buy a fancy car today that automatically stays in its lane on the highway and keeps up with traffic. Google's ambition is a car so good at driving itself, it doesn't have a steering wheel or pedals at all. But don't go making plans for a test drive or test ride quite yet. Hunter says the shift may happen gradually.
You'll see, we suspect, small numbers of cars operating in relatively small geographical areas that are relatively simple to drive.
Snow, ice, crossing guards. These things have the potential to stump self-driving cars and could hold them back for decades in certain places.
You could see one town with fully autonomous cars within 3 years, but actually have them not mainstreamed globally for another 30. That's totally possible.
There's no proof that machines can even drive as safely as humans can.
This is Steve Schladover, a research engineer at UC Berkeley.
And I think it will take a very long time to get to the point that that's even possible to prove.
He argues the average human drives thousands of hours without a serious crash, which is a high bar to match. Try to imagine your smartphone or computer going that long without a single glitch, not one hiccup.
That's how good it has to be just to be equal to drivers today.
Still, federal regulators know such cars are coming, so they want companies to show their homework, how self-driving cars will detect and respond to their surroundings, how they've been tested, how they'll protect data and safeguard against hackers. Then there's the ethical questions, because drivers make ethical calls. Here's an extreme example. Say you're cruising down the street when a kid runs out from behind a tree. Best case scenario, you swerve into a parked truck and hope no one gets hurt. In that moment, a self-driving car will do as it's been programmed, whether its developers account for that or not.
That's really just the tip of the iceberg when we talk about the moral implications of autonomous vehicles.
Ryan Jenkins is a philosophy professor who explores the ethics of new technology at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. Self-driving cars raise thorny questions like, how much room should they give a cyclist on the right? What if making room means illegally crossing a double yellow line? Also, will we get so out of practice, so dependent on technology, that we forget how to be decent drivers? Finally, suppose a self-driving car hits my mom and lands her in the hospital. The person sitting in the other car might not be to blame. Instead, my mom might have to sue the company that programmed it.
In order to fully understand and prepare for these changes that are coming, society really needs to get out ahead of them.
Another potential ripple Jenkins raises, could this technology actually make congestion worse? Say you're working late and send your self-driving car to grab the kids from school, then have it double back to pick you up.
It's not obvious that it's going to reduce the total number of trips that are taken, and some people think it might not reduce the total number of cars that are on the road.
Last one. Organ donors save lives when they die in car wrecks. Thousands of sick people depend on them for vital transplants each year. So if self-driving cars prevent many crashes,
this might mean that more people die waiting for organ donations.
If self-driving cars really are about to transform cities, they stand to alter a lot more than your commute. I'm Daniel Potter, KQED News.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, Hope Lab, and the Dirk and Charlene Capsanel Foundation.